This time it was not my fault. At any rate, I draw your attention to the Christmas schedule of masses. And I would like to take this opportunity primarily because of those who most likely will not be here tonight or tomorrow morning because of having Mass in your own chapels at that time. But for your sake, I wish to extend to you the felicitations and the prayers and the blessings that from us, the monks and the sisters. And we certainly, and you know it, pray with all of our hearts that you will be particularly blessed. And we hope that your Christmas will be everything that is beautiful, everything that is holy, everything that you would want it to be. And for the rest of us, we will hear that message directed to us at the appropriate time. In today's bulletin, we have a quotation. It is good to be children sometimes, and never better than at Christmas, when its mighty founder was a child himself. I have two points that I wish to make this morning. And the first is this. Almighty God makes use of circumstances. And Scripture, if we look carefully at Scripture, we find circumstances are at work at all times and places to bring about that which God wants to happen. Now, there are those of us, and we certainly have ample reason to complain and to criticize the workings of our leaders, civic leaders, our government, the government officials, and all such like. We have a lot of reason to complain about them. And by the same token, and perhaps to the same degree of importance and significance, the people who lived at the time of Mary and Joseph certainly had a lot of reason to complain about Caesar. And perhaps even had more reason to complain about Caesar than we do, about our government. At least we can disobey without being hauled before the jury, if at all, and then being executed simply because we did not respect our government. You know, those of us that have read history, we know the malice and the wickedness and the evil and the evil intention of those who were in authority at that time. It so happened that in that particular year, Caesar decided he wanted a census, which caused a great deal of discomfort, a great deal of inconvenience, and so on, to everybody. And each one, wherever they lived, had to go to the place of his birth and register so the census could be taken. And Mary and Joseph, very quietly, without complaint, without criticism, without argument, without dialogue, without words, without debate, traveled to Bethlehem to register for the census. If Mary and Joseph would have disobeyed the order of Caesar, they would have frustrated the plan of Almighty God. It's as simple as that. What did Scripture say? Where was he to come out of? He was to come forth from where? From Bethlehem. Would they have gone to Bethlehem? Had Caesar not been there to order an unreasonable order? We have to take things in their context, and we have to take things knowing that finally and ultimately Almighty God is still in charge. And sometimes the things that happen around and about us which seem totally unreasonable are merely circumstances leading us, pushing us, guiding us, pulling us into the will of God. We do not understand this. Later, not much later, when Joseph, in the middle of the night, had to get up in haste, without preparation, grab up his full family, and go on a several hundred mile walk. That too was a circumstance. There are those that say and claim and maintain and argue that God is awfully dumb to have allowed all of this to the ones that he loved the most. And when we see things that are coming to us and things that we do not understand and problems that come to us, we are too quick sometimes, too blind sometimes, to be able to see that someplace, somewhere, somehow, the will of God is taking place. And after we get to Bethlehem, and the event actually takes place, and the child is born, there was a messenger, perhaps more than one, perhaps a whole constellation of messengers. You know, as we know, that they were all in Bethlehem for the purposes of census, and we also know that all of the inns were filled. Incidentally, there's a little picture here at the edge of the crib that I would like to bring to your attention, and I want you to look at it. I want you to study it. And as poor old Saint Joseph is trying to find some place to go for his wife to have a baby, and every place he went, he got this for an answer. And as we're talking about this, how many times has Saint Joseph or the Blessed Mother, or more importantly, our Lord Himself, knocked on the door of our hearts and gotten this for an answer? How many times has this happened? How many times? But as we look at the situation, as we look at that circumstance a little bit more in depth, who were they? Who were they that did have the place or places, who did have the place that our Blessed Lord might have been able to use had they not been there, who occupied those places? Who were they? They were the doctors and the lawyers and the teachers and the educated and that class, our class of people, okay? The us type people, you know, probably the well-dressed and those that had a little bit of money and whatever, the us kind of people. They were the ones that were occupying all the places. They were the ones who had read scripture. They were the ones that were educated. They were the ones who were read. So you might expect that the information that was being broadcast at that time should have reached their ears. When the angels came, they didn't go near them. And to make it even more specific, remember, they were the righteous people, too. To make it more specific, sometimes you've got to make things terribly specific for the point to get across. Some people don't like for you to be literal because they think that you're downgrading. But that's unfortunate for those who feel that way. One cannot be silenced simply because this or that one doesn't understand. But if they were the us kind of people, and the angels did not come to the us kind of people to give the message, would the angels, were we in a similar circumstance, would they have come to us? To tell us about it. What is it? That God is looking for. What is it that God is looking for? No doubt, as you will look at these people that were at the ends, they were the good people. They didn't hurt anybody. No doubt they lived the fulfillment of the law to the nth degree. No doubt they did everything that was required of them. What is it? That God did not see in those people. My dear people, it is time for us all to turn and look into ourselves. It is time for us to look into ourselves to try in some way, shape, or form to see if by means of the use of a microscope or a magnifying glass or anything you wish to call to use, what instrument you wish to use, what is it that God is looking for? It is time for us to look into ourselves, not in our neighbor, it is time to see, do I have in my heart that which God is looking for? Why was it that God did not go to the doctors and the lawyers and the teachers and the righteous and the beautiful and the lovely and all those, etc., 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 and etc.? Why did the messengers of God not go to those, the us? Why did they not come to us? Why did they not come to us? What is it that he was looking for? Rather, they went to a group of nondescripts, I'm not promoting nondescription, okay? I'm not promoting that we should all go out and be bums. I'm not promoting that we should all go out and start smelling bad. I'm not promoting illiteracy. Some people think that I'm downgrading, literacy. No, no, indeed. I'm just trying to look at it exactly as it is. We don't have time to fool around. We don't have time to use pretty words in order to keep this one or that one from being, you know. What was in the heart of those shepherds, or the hearts of those shepherds? They couldn't even, I'm sure, couldn't even sign their own names. What was in the hearts of those shepherds? They probably had never read the written word. And probably were more at home with the sheep and the goats than they were at home with the us people. Did God see in those shepherds? What did they have that was like a magnet drawing God to them? They didn't know anything about what was happening. They were too stupid. They were too ignorant. They didn't see anything that was going on that was extraordinary. And when the message finally came to them, they were still stupid. And they say, oh, well, let's just go see and see this thing. Is it that God saw in them that he did not see in the us people? And when I say us people, my dear people, I am part of us. Don't forget that. It is time that we all looked at the reality of the business that is at hand. We must not find ourselves coming to, simply because there's a structure and it's nice and the mass, etc., etc. I wonder if those shepherds even had any vague idea of what it was to go to the temple to pray. I wonder if they had ever entered the temple to pray. They probably might have been thrown out because they would have polluted the temple, which was reserved for righteous people. Do you see what I'm trying to say? I'm not condemning us. I'm pleading that we must, if we are to look upon this that is in front of us to be observed, that we must clean our own systems out. We must, in our own way, become simple. By simple, please understand the use of the word simple. Sometimes I'm criticized because my vocabulary is crazy. When I use the word simple, I don't mean simpleton. but we must be simple of mind and heart. Last week I said, Christmas is humility. And I said, humility is Christmas. If we have in our hearts and souls the real imprint of the faith that is required and looked for and asked for by God Himself, by Jesus Christ Himself, by Mary herself, by Joseph himself, by the angels themselves, by all of those. If we have the imprint of that faith at this time and for this occasion that is before us, then all of the other things that are proper, really they are, the good things of course, but let's be careful, let us not be the ones to set off apart and be the judge of that which is good and that which is bad. Let us be certain that we have the authority that is required to declare that which is good and that which is bad. If we have the stability of that faith, if our faith is truly stable, if our faith is truly secure, if our faith is really understood, and not just a matter of, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to go to church, I got to go to mass, I got to communion, got to say the rosary, got to do this novena, got to do this, I got to, got to, got to, got to, all the time. Anybody who has to do anything does not love. I will repeat that for emphasis. Anybody, I don't care who he is, anybody who has to do this or that, whether it be for his wife or for her husband or for her child or for his parents or for a friend or for God himself, anybody who has to do something for that person does not love. A machine has to print out the paper when you press the button. We then can take all this into the embrace of our holy religion. And it all then makes sense. If something of that is proper and good does not make sense, the problem does not lie or rest in that which does not make sense. The problem lies within myself, who is incapable of seeing the sense in it. And my pride blinds me so much. And I might even add that a proud man knows no physician And even God himself. Think this one out. Because of the way things were. Not even God himself was not able to conquer the pride of Lucifer. That Lucifer, in his pride, was more powerful, actually, than his creator. And the creator cannot penetrate pride. We're going to hear more about pride, because it is that which will, if anything at all, will be the source of our condemnation. Pride is the worst sickness, the worst affliction that can come upon man. It is far worse than insanity. It is far worse than cancer. It wasn't because Lucifer was insane or that needed psychiatric assistance that caused him to be cast out of hell, I mean out of heaven. It wasn't because he was a sick man, a sick angel that caused him to be cast out of heaven. It was because he was proud. It wasn't because Adam and Eve were sick or insane or needed psychiatric assistance or whatever, whatever, whatever that caused them to be cast out of the Garden of Eden. It's because they were proud. That's what cast them out. Christmas is humility. And humility is Christmas. And it is only after you look and stoop to enter into the cave, which you have to stoop to do, will you see that after you look into that cave called humility, will you be able to see the unspeakable beauty that is on the other side of that entrance. And when you look at the baby Jesus is not here yet, but when you look upon the baby Jesus, this is what we have got to see. And if we don't see it, if we don't comprehend it, if we don't grasp it, or if it doesn't grasp us, then we need to be scared. Real scared. It doesn't matter how much money we've got. Doesn't matter how much property we've got. Doesn't matter how much power we've got. It doesn't matter how much of anything we've got. If we do not see that, or if that does not come to us and hold on to us, then we need to be scared. Very scared. Christmas is what Christmas is. And that's what we have to call to mind. And as soon as Christmas is over, when Christmas comes, can Lent be far behind? And then we try to come to the process of scrubbing and getting rid of that which we must do something about. All of you, please kneel, especially those of you who will not be here tonight or tomorrow morning.